We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. In Galatians chapter 2, we're going to read a few verses, starting with verse 18, if you'll look there with me. The book of Galatians chapter 2. Down at verse 18, and we'll read those last few verses of this chapter. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Verse 20 there is, it's one of those verses of Scripture that, like several, that no doubt when you became a Christian, you learned it. It's one of the first verses you learned. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It's an important verse. Actually, it's a unique verse because it gives really, it in a condensed form, it gives pretty much the whole work of God in our lives. All condensed in that verse, one verse of Scripture, you can see all the wonderful things that Christ has done for us that we might have life in Jesus Christ. We're calling this morning the exchanged life. It's not my term. This is a term coined by William Taylor, who was the son of the famous missionary Hudson Taylor, when he was writing describing his own father's life. That his father just so immersed himself in the call of God, what God had called him to do. He turned his back on his former life and then immersed himself into reaching China. He did everything. I mean, he took on their customs. He took on their clothing, their culture, everything. And he just immersed himself. Up to that time, most of the missionaries that had gone into China had done most of their missionary work in the major cities, more or less the borderlands of China. But Hudson Taylor, so committed to the whole nation of China, that he began to go up river and to go to places where the gospel had never been before. And he dedicated his whole life to that. And William Taylor, his son, wrote about him and said his life was an exchange life. It was the life that he used to have, and then the new life that he had because of the life of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That's what Jesus came to do. That's why he went to the cross. The cross was not a mistake. The cross was not the enemy winning. The cross was a victory. The cross was the plan of God. The cross was the plan of the ages. And God is able to help us to see, and I hope that this morning we can maybe see a little more clearly how important it is that you commit yourself to the Lord, because you can exchange your old life. If you're not a Christian, you can die to your old life. You can be crucified with him so that then he can give you life, a new life, and so that you can really see the wonderful plan of God unfold in your life. Amen. So he didn't just come to give us a changed life. It's an exchanged life. What would have been if we never knew him, and what is because we know him. Praise God. I read about a young man, 26 years old. Now, you know, everything that's on the internet is true, so this must be true. His name was Kyle McDonald, 26 years old, lived in Montreal. He lived in a tiny little apartment. And so he was so tired of living in that apartment, he wanted to have a home, a house of his own, but he didn't have the money to buy one. And too bad he wasn't following Dave Ramsey's plan, but apparently he didn't know about it. And he lived in this small little house, and as he looked around his little computer, he saw a red paperclip And it came to his mind, I wonder what I could trade this red paperclip for. That seems pretty crazy, doesn't it? But he put his red paperclip online to trade it for something. Unbelievably, a couple of older ladies wanted the red paperclip, and they traded a little hairpin for the paperclip. So he realized, I could trade in something and get something more. So it started the process. He started trading in, and every time he traded up just a little bit. Every time he traded and he traded and he traded. So finally he had a 100-watt generator that someone had traded to him for some other item. He got an antique doorknob traded to him, and then he went up to something else, and then he had this, and this kept going on, the process of going up and up and getting better and better and more things, till finally one day he traded something that he had traded up to for a paid part in a movie. And he didn't want to be in that movie, so he put it online. A paid part. You can be in this movie. A man in Saskatchewan had always had a lifelong dream of being in a movie. He had two houses, and he had a small little house, and he traded his house for that part, and it all started with a paperclip. That's a crazy thing. If it's true, like I said, I read it on the internet, it's got to be true. Now, that's a silly little story. If it's real, it's pretty amazing to even consider the fact. But I want you to know that what Christ has offered to everyone is always a better thing. It's always greater. It's even greater than anything you could ever imagine. What God has provided for us, Galatians 2 and 20, this is this verse of Scripture that is kind of the theme this morning. I am crucified with Christ. I'm dying. The crucifixion, the cross, was a place of death. It was a place of execution. The Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Along with him, when I came to Jesus, I was crucified. I died out to what I was. And then I began to live a new life. I was a Saul who became a Paul. I was a persecutor of the church who became a builder of the church. I was once one who destroyed, but now I am building the kingdom of God and advancing the kingdom of God. I was Saul, but now I'm Paul. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I died, but I live. And that's exactly what happens whenever you come to Jesus Christ. You're not only saved, but you die. You die to the old life. You die to who you were. You die to your former ambitions and your desires and the plans of your life and all the things that you were hoping for and planning for. You die out to all of those things, and then you yield yourself to him because you just have confidence that God, his plan is so much greater than anything you could ever imagine. That if you yield yourself to the Lord, and many times the time of your life that is the most critical crisis time, when you're making the most serious decisions to follow Jesus Christ, it will maybe one day be the most important decision that you ever made in a way that you can't even imagine. How that the Lord, God always has a higher plan. You may not understand it. I'm sure that his disciples grieved when they saw him go to the cross. They were heartbroken. All of their dreams. Remember those men on the road to Emmaus? They were so downcast. They were so defeated. And when Jesus stepped alongside them and was walking with them, the Bible says their eyes were holden. There's something about deep, dark, discouragement and defeat and hopelessness that has a way of blinding you to hope. That's what happened to those men on the road to Emmaus. They didn't even recognize him. They were talking about him, but didn't even recognize him. They were so clouded by their trial, their sorrow over his death, that they didn't know that the resurrected Lord was walking with them on the road to Emmaus. And it was only when they sat at a table and broke bread together that they recognized who he was, because it had just been a few hours before that they had broke bread with him. And when they broke bread and they fellowshiped with him, then their eyes were opened. And they saw him and they realized he's not dead. It's not over. This plan is going to be much greater than anything we could ever understand or comprehend. Then they were filled with joy. The Bible says their hearts burned within them when they walked along the way and he had proclaimed to them Jesus Christ from Moses all the way through the prophets and the law, that they understood then they realized this was truly Jesus, the Messiah. This was really him. He disappeared from them. They travel all the way back to Jerusalem and they tell their brethren the story of what had happened to them. It's not over. It's not over. Death was not the end. I know a lot of people that come to the Lord and they think, well, I'm going to get saved, but I know my life is over now. All the things I wanted to do, my plans and my ideas about the future, it's all over. Well, that might be over, but it's not over. When you begin to follow the Lord, it's just getting started. And you can't even imagine the wonderful things that God may want to do and how that he may use you. You may not be able to fully comprehend the greatness of his plan, but it's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful exchanged life. Praise God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a young German pastor, a young man who was a pastor during the development of Hitler's Third Reich. And he had come to the United States to study in a seminary. He could have stayed in the United States when things were getting so serious in Germany and across Europe under Hitler. But he chose to go back. He chose to go back to his homeland. He chose to go there and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He chose to go there and to stand against the evils and the atrocities of Hitler and all that he was doing. As a result, he was arrested by the Gestapo. And just a few weeks before the Allied invasion, and he could have been set free from that, Hitler ordered that he be hung to death. And that's exactly what happened to him. You think, what a wasted life. What a waste. What a waste. But was it really a waste? No. He followed the will of God. He did what God called him to do. His life has been an inspiration to many, many generations now. Many, many people have been so affected by the testimony of that young German pastor. It wasn't a waste. Your life that's lived for Jesus Christ, no matter what the outcome, it's never a waste. It's the best life that can be lived. Praise God. Bonhoeffer said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. He bids him to come and die. And so when you come to Jesus Christ, yes, you're crucified with him. And you die to your former life, to the former person that you used to be, to all of your plans, your ambitions and desires. You die to those things and you then become alive in Jesus Christ. And he is able to take you and use you in ways that you could never, ever even imagine. Glory to God. That's how the Lord wants to work in your life. Another thing from this verse of scripture that you'll quickly see, and that is that there are eight pronouns, I's and me's, that are used there. And that, to me, it just gives to us a clear understanding that our relationship with God is a personal thing. Surely he's concerned about the masses. But I don't believe that God sees the 7+ billion people in the world and all of these people that are lost. I don't believe that God sees them as masses. I believe that he sees every individual life. He knows them by name. He knows the very hair of their head that's numbered. He knows everything about them. He's a God of the individual. He's the God of the I and the me. And that's the relationship that we have. You may have family that's saved. Your parents may be saved. You may have come to a knowledge of the Lord through your family, but you needed more than just a family relationship with God. You had to meet him yourself. Amen. Not on the merits of mom and dad or anyone in your family. It's a personal thing. Amen. So we have a God who is a personal God who wants to work in the lives of people and change the lives of people, even those starving children in Ethiopia and the Sudan and many other places in the world where people are suffering. God is a God that's not just looking at the masses of those people. He's looking at each individual. He knows them. He knows the details of their life, and he wants them to be saved. That's why he raises up missionaries that go into these places that are difficult places, because God so loved the world. That doesn't mean that he loves just the masses. He loves the individual. That's the kind of relationship that we are to have. He is a personal God. Amen. Even though there's over 2 billion people that are Muslims in this world, he loves them enough to send the missionaries. He loves them enough to get the gospel to them and to reach them, because he is a God that is a personal God. Amen. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God is no respecter of persons? He didn't just love a certain few, but he loves all of us equally the same. He cares about you. He loves me. He loves all of us the same. And he's no respecter of persons. And he wants to change your life. He wants to turn things around for you by the power of the gospel, by the power of your willingness to yield yourself to him. I am crucified with Christ. Paul said, I'm dead, yet I live. I'm alive. I'm living. When you die out to sin and self and the world and the things of your own desires, and Jesus says, I've come to give you life and to change at your life. Paul uses this terminology of death and life all through his writings. It's in Colossians. It's in Romans. It's in, as we've read here, in Galatians, where he writes again and again of this theme that we're dead in Christ so that we can have life. That we're dead through, we are crucified with him. We are dead in Jesus Christ. We die out to the old life so that we can live in Jesus Christ. Praise God. When you know the Lord and you commit your ways to the Lord and you die out to the old life and you die out to everything else that seems important to you, the reason that Hudson Taylor made such an impact, the whole China Inland Mission was founded by him. The reason that he made such an impact is he just completely sold out. As I said, he took on their customs, their clothes, and just became one of them and walked among them and loved them and poured out to them and gave 40 years of his life to the inland of China. Thus affected thousands and thousands of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was an exchanged life, but what a life to be lived, a life that's lived for Jesus Christ. Yesterday, Marsh and I had the privilege of going over to Cumberland, Kentucky, to help Paul and Roberta Pratt celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. There was in the crowd, most of you know the Pratts. They've been here. Brother Paul serves with us on our Good News board, and they're always here at a missions conference and other times, and were longtime friends of Brother Huff and wonderful people, but they celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary yesterday. And that was an important milestone. But what was really significant was the people that were there, the testimonies that were given in that place yesterday. Paul and Roberta never were able to have children of their own, but they dedicated. There's never any sense of bitterness or disappointment with God, but instead they immersed themselves into influencing people for God. They were youth leaders for many years. They were leaders in their church for many years. They're educators, both of them, educators in the community college over there, teachers. The president of the college was there, who was the first to stand up and to say, the very best we've ever had, the greatest impact on our community was right here, Paul and Roberta Pratt. They lived out their life, the best teachers, the best administrators, the best witness for Jesus Christ. This is the president of the college saying this, that they were the best witnesses for Jesus Christ that we've ever seen before. Wow. Then one right after another that had been students in their classes that stood up. Same testimony. They influenced my life. They changed my life. They influenced me to move forward and to give my best. One testimony after another. And as young people, and they got married, and even before, raised to know God, to serve the Lord by godly parents, and then committed themselves to the Lord. What a life. What a life that they have lived to influence people. It may not have all went the way they thought it might go, but they committed themselves to the Lord. And Lord, wherever you put us, maybe we don't have children of our own, but we're going to invest in other youth that were in that group yesterday, young people who are no longer young, who were saved while they were the youth leaders at their church. Again and again and again, the testimonies of the influence of a life. What a wonderful thing to live an exchanged life. And that just means you die out to the things that you thought were important. You die out to the things that were your former ambitions and your desires. And you just yield yourself to the Lord. Lord, what do you want to do with me? Here I am. I'm willing. And the Lord takes that willingness and that desire to be used of God and whatever sphere of influence he puts you in, if it's in a school or on a job or on a mission field or wherever he places you, then he uses you to the level that you will allow him to and to touch the lives of people. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. You know, this morning, if we would just understand that, I know how it is to have a difficulty yielding yourself 100% to God. It's a hard thing to yield yourself to the Lord. I remember when I was wrestling over going to Bible school, I didn't want to go. As a matter of fact, I had said, I will never go to that school. Never go to that school. But I also knew what the Lord was dealing with me and how he was pressing me and that this is what he wanted me to do. I was going another direction. I had actually visited other Bible colleges and was looking at going another direction. But all the while, in my spirit, I knew if you're going to do the will of God, this is where God wants you to be. Finally, under the pressure of the Spirit of God, I said, okay, God, I'll go. I'll just give up everything. That's what I thought. I thought if I go here, then my life is over and there's be never any happiness or joy ever again. I'm going to be like a monk. Sitting in the corner somewhere, and that's what I thought. It was so built up in my mind that they were so overwhelming. This school was so strict and so that I would never be able to have a life. Little did I know, that's where God began to work in my life. That's where God began to direct me. That's where the call of God came from. There would have never been a Marcia if I hadn't went there. I would have never even known there was a London, Kentucky, probably, if I hadn't went there. God knows what he's doing. God knows how to help us. And his exchange, the best life, is the life that's yielded to him. And when we say yes to the Lord, he can use us. Adoniram Judson, another missionary, was a young man who had gone to some French universities, and he'd been so affected by a philosophy that was anti-God, that even though he was raised by godly parents, he was affected by them. They were praying for him, but his philosophy had totally shifted to this liberal theology and liberal thinking. And he was moving so far away from what God intended for him. The person that was influencing him, the young man that was the most powerful influence in his life, leading him away from God, suddenly died. And when that young man died, it's like it woke him up to realizing, I need to yield myself to God. Judson finally went to Burma, spent his life there in Burma, influencing people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the thousands and thousands and thousands, people were saved. C.T. Studd, also a missionary in Africa and India. C.T. Studd was a cricketer. We don't know much about that. It's in England, they don't play baseball, they play cricket, or they used to. But he was a professional. Matter of fact, his team had won the national championship. He was a cricket here, but God called him. He laid that all down, laid it all aside and began to follow Jesus Christ. And he spent his life in Africa and India doing God's call for him. It was Studd who wrote the poem, the famous poem, "Only One Life 'Twill Soon Be Past. Only what's done for Christ will last." It was C.T. Studd. One more that I'll mention is Pastor Carter Conlon. Carter Conlon, who is now in New York City, pastor of the Times Square Church, where David Wilkerson was for so many years. Carter Conlon was a police officer in Canada, and that was his life. He had studied to be in law enforcement. That was his career, his life. God brought another officer into his life who began to witness to him about Jesus. And after, it's a big, long, involved story, his conversion, but finally he yielded to the Lord and Carter Conlon was saved. And then he began to preach the gospel. And he pastored a small little church there in Canada, and the Lord was using him and that little congregation, so much so that the tapes of his preaching ministry began to spread other places. A guy by the name of Leonard Ravenhill got a hold of his tapes and listened to Conlon, and then passed it on to David Wilkerson. He said, "You need to listen to this young man preach." Wilkerson was one day, he said he threw the tapes in his glove compartment of his car. Months went by, he didn't even listen to them. So one day he was driving down the road and praying and so desperately saying, "Oh God, you know how much I must have help. I must have someone who can help me in this ministry." And the Lord said, "Listen to those tapes." He listened to the preaching of Carter Conlon as he was driving down the road, and he pulled over the side of the road and he called Canada and talked, first of all, to his wife. His wife said, "I almost fell over. I did not believe it was really the David Wilkerson." He asked Carter to come to New York City and to preach. And that's the rest of the story has been they eventually moved to New York. He became his partner in ministry then, and since became the senior pastor and has been the senior pastor at Times Square Church for many, many years. But I remember in the story of Conlon's conversion, he was struggling with yielding himself to God and the plan of God. How could he have ever have dreamed that he would leave Canada and be in New York City? How would he ever have imagined the plan of God as it unfurled? Amen. He couldn't have, and nor could you, and nor could I, nor could any of us here today realize that what God wants you to do is to die. Die out to what your plans are, to what your desires are, to the things that are important to you. The Apostle Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me." He's the one that is empowering me. He's the one that's given me this new life. And it's the life of great joy. Young people, don't let the enemy convince you that there are things in this world, things of this life, that matter more than the purpose and the calling of God upon your life. It's just not the truth. There are a lot of things, you know, that seem important in this world. But the most important thing is that you commit your ways, your life, your future to the Lord. Die out to all of those ambitions and commit yourself to the Lord and exchange that life for the life that Christ has for you. Praise God. Amen. What wonderful things that God can do whenever we yield ourselves to the Lord. Let's pray. Would you stand with me, everybody? Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful, wonderful work of God in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that when we come to that crisis time in our life, when we commit our life, our ambitions, our future, everything into your hands, Lord, that you can take that and give us a new life, a life in Jesus Christ. Lord, you can do amazing and wonderful things in us and through us for your glory. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that you were willing to go to the cross. And Lord, we are crucified with you. Our life, our plans, our desires, our ambitions. I thank you, Lord, you were willing to go to the cross because it was only through the cross, Lord, that the judgment of God could be satisfied. It was only through the death of Jesus Christ that there could be the hope of life eternal. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord, that you have provided for all of us the hope of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We do thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're able to take us as we are, transform us, change us, and give to us new hope. And I just pray, Lord, that if there are any in this congregation today, Lord, that they recognize that they've been living out their life, but they have not really yielded themselves completely to you. I ask you, Lord, to speak to hearts. I ask you, Lord, to work in the hearts and the minds of young people, men and women, everyone in this place, Lord, that we would be willing to die out to everything so that we can realize all the blessing that you have in store for your people. And we thank you for that. Glory to God.